Welcome back, everyone. Very exciting. You feel the excitement in the air. Walk around, everyone says how amazing their Pesach has been. The break was too long. We're excited to be back, full force. So I want to throw out a question that should have been an obvious question. Maybe it was to some people here. And that is as follows. We know that we start to ask for rain in our Shmona Esrei, starting Sukkot time. Last day of Sukkot, we daven to Hashem, we start saying Mashiva Ruach HaMarid HaGashem, we start to speak about rain. Pesach, right, we know, we just stopped. We stopped speaking about rain Pesach time, and we now say Marid HaTal, as written up there on the wall. But there's a very interesting difference between what happens on Sukkot and what happens on Pesach. Because on Sukkot, even though it's the time, the winter is beginning, and it's time to start asking for our rain, but we don't really ask for rain. We don't say in our Shmona Esrei, V'sein tal u'matar levracha, until 2 weeks later. Zayin Cheshvan. And the Mishnah says, in Maseches Tainis and Daf Yud, that the reason that we don't say it right away on Sukkot, when we're ready for the rain, is because there are a bunch of people who were Olal HaRegel, they came up to visit the Makom HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, to bring the Korbanos, to feel the Shechina, and they're going home. And for the last guy to get all the way to Nahar Paras, to the Euphrates River, where some people live, it takes 2 weeks. And we don't want the people who came up to Yerushalayim on their way home to get wet. So therefore, even though it is the appropriate time to start asking for rain, we hold off, we wait 2 weeks for everyone to get back home, and then we start to storm the heavens. No pun intended. According to that logic, before Pesach, we should stop asking for rain 2 weeks before. On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the people start making the trek all the way up to Yerushalayim, they don't want to get wet either. So why were we davening for rain all the way until Pesach? So you'll say to me, look at the weather over here, it's gorgeous, it doesn't rain anyway. The first 2 days of Pesach, it poured. It rains. So all those people that are coming up to be Olal HaRegel on Pesach, they're getting drenched. We should have stopped asking for rain 2 weeks before, just like we delay asking for rain 2 weeks after Sukkot. Some answer, a technical answer, that when they go up to the Olal HaRegel Sukkot time, they're in summer mode. Right? They're just coming from the summer months, and they're wearing their summer clothing. And they come up to Yerushalayim, and they bring their kabanos, and they go home, and they're wearing their summer uniforms, and if it rains, they're going to get all wet. The light clothing that they're wearing, and they're going to get drenched. It's not good. Coming after a long winter, and you're wearing your coat and everything like that, and you go up to Eretz Yisrael, you go to Yerushalayim for Pesach, so you're in your winter clothes anyway, so what big deal? You'll get a little bit wet, but you're wearing your winter clothes, so it doesn't make a difference. Okay, a possibility. I'd like to share with you another answer that I saw from Rav Elio Diskin in the Sefer Nachal Elio, and it really sets the tone, I feel, for the kickoff of the new Zman, and hopefully will help us have an incredible Zman this coming next few months. And that is as follows. He says that what triggered this answer in his head was a story that he heard. The story took place in Bnei Brak, and it was the great Stipler Gaon was going to shul on Shabbos morning, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And it happens to be, once the month of Nisan comes, there's a mitzvah to make a bracha on a tree, a blossoming tree, Birchas HaIlanos. So here, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's the first opportunity to go ahead and make the bracha. And Ani, he went to shul a little bit early, so he could go over to the tree and make the bracha. And between him and the tree, there was a whole stack, mound of metal. People were building or something like that in this construction zone, and there was metal over there. So he climbed over the metal to get to the tree to go ahead and make his bracha. A few minutes later, there's a guy passing by, and he sees the stipler is like trying to get back over. He made his bracha now. He's ready to go back to Davin and come over that mound, over that construction site, and he's having trouble. He can't get over there. So finally, the guy goes over, helps him out, gets him out, and he asks him, he said, how did you get there if you couldn't come back? So the stipler answered, it was very, very easy. But when I was going there, I couldn't wait to do the mitzvah. I was so excited to go ahead and make this special bracha, this one time a year bracha, that nothing could have stood in my way. Yeah, it was a little difficult. Actually, I don't know how I got over there, but I just climbed and I got over there and I made my bracha. But once I already did the mitzvah and I was all done, so I lost that ability to climb over again because I had no passion for it. I had no excitement for it. I had no purpose for it. And Rabbi Eliyahu Diskin said, when he heard that story, he said, oh, now I understand the answer to that original question. When a person is embarking to go for his Pesach holiday to Yerushalayim, to go ahead and bring the Karban, he is so excited. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be the best Pesach of my life. I'm going to meet Hashem, to eat with Him, my Karbanos, and all of Klal Yisrael all together. This is going to be the best experience of my life. So, it's a long ride. Oh, I have to schlep my kids. Oh, I have to bring some food. I have to this, I have to that. Oh, it might rain. Who cares? I'm going up to the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be amazing. So we don't care if they get a little wet. Because the motivation is all there. Because the passion for the experience that they're about to have is right in front of their face. After Sukkos, when they're done being Olal Regal, and now they're going home. They're going home from vacation, and you have to, when you get home, check the mail, and you have to get the house back in order, and you have to go ahead and get back into regular life. You're in such a bad mood, and you're leaving the peak. You're leaving the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, all the Jewish people all together, and you have to go back home. Oh, that stinks. And it rains? Oh! That's even worse. So there we have pity on the Jewish traveler, and we say, "Don't. We're not going to daven for rain. The Jewish people will not daven for rain now because we want to have Rachmanis on you, Nebuch, that you have to get home, and you're leaving this amazing, awesome experience of being in Yerushalayim. Going to the mitzvah, going, starting, getting there, the anticipation is so amazing that the rain is not going to stop you. It's not a big deal at all. It's after that you're finished and you're going back to everyday normal life when every little thing bothers you to no end. And we see it. It's unbelievable. You pay attention. I was observing a little bit where people go for Pesach. Hotels, this, that. So there's a large amount of people lately that have been going to Orlando. Orlando is now a hot, not just because of the climate, but it's a place that a lot of people go, and they rent out these houses, and they get a private pool. It's a whole thing. I think they said 30,000 people went this year to Orlando. Now, you have to understand, just to appreciate, I had a relative that went this year, and he told me that there were so many Jews there. Now, they don't have enough stores and supermarkets there to feed all of these families, these Jewish families that are coming down for Pesach. Right? So he went there the night before to buy water. Wanted to buy filtered water. The supermarket didn't have filtered water. That was the level of need that existed. They didn't have water. Okay? You had to buy before. The people schlep it down. They ship it. They bring it in their cars. Some people drive down Dafka, not fly, so they could bring all their stuff. People cook and they pack and they buy and they spend money. Tons of effort! And you ask them, so how was Pesach? It was amazing! It was amazing. They weren't just cooking in their house and cleaning. They had to bring the whole world down to Orlando. But it's so exciting. It's so much fun. They're looking forward to it. So that little stuff doesn't bother them. They could do things that, thinking back, was I crazy for doing that? On the way home, of course they leave all the food over there. They don't come back with it. Going to something that's fresh and new and exciting gives you the power to do things that you never thought you'd be able to do. Push yourself to hours of learning at night, off times, that you never thought you'd be able to keep capable of doing. But you're so excited, it's new, it's fresh, this is going to be the Zman, I'm going to make it happen, it's going to be amazing. So I push myself a little more, I'm going to be able to do it. Getting up early, I could do it. It's the fresh, a star, a new thing, I'll get up fresh. It's amazing. We could go ahead and do it, no problem. What's the problem? The problem is after. After today. After this week. Chazal say that Mashiach would come if everyone would keep one, if everyone would keep two Shabbases. Why is it enough just to keep one Shabbos? Why does it have to be two? Because the first Shabbos is exciting. It's fresh. It's new. Everyone's doing it. The second Shabbos, oh, I did that already. Now I got to go ahead and do something else. I need another experience. To do the same thing twice is so much harder. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that why is it that there's a mitzvah of Bikurim on the first page of Drash Moshe and his Perush on Chumash. He says we bring the Bikurim, bring the first fruits to the Kohen. The Kohen cares if you bring the first fruit or the second fruit. An apple's an apple. Right? It doesn't make any difference to him. The difference is to us. That first fruit means so much to me. It's so exciting to me. It's new. It's fresh. And I'm bringing it to him. It's harder for me to do that because it's fresh. And I still bring it to him. That shows how dedicated I am to doing the mitzvah. But the second week of the Zman and the third week of the Zman and the second month of the Zman, when we get into like a certain routine, and that excitement and freshness and newness dies down, then the question is, are we still going to be able to get up early in the morning? Are we still going to be able to stay up later? Are we still going to be writing the notes that we said we're going to write great notes this month in yeshiva? Are we still going to be able to do all the self-work and everything that we want to do, all that we want to accomplish? Are we still going to be able to do it? That's going to make the difference between the men and the boys. So how do we do it? I'd like to suggest, okay, everyone can figure out it on their own thing, that, but at least one idea, is we should write it down on a piece of paper already right now, when we're feeling it, we're so excited, we have that motivation, and we have almost that those superpowers that were given to us, to be able to accomplish amazing things. Write down now in this headspace what we're feeling and what we think realistically we could accomplish. And then all of a sudden, then right after that, when we do it, tonight when we stay up a little later, tomorrow morning when we wake up a little earlier, write down, and I did it, and it felt good. It was good. That was it. That was the right thing. And I was able to do it. It was easy to get up. Yeah, I had to get my friend to wake me up. But I got it. It was easy. It wasn't so hard. We're very well rested. It was all good. I was able to do it. Easy. And write it down. Full sentences. As much as you have to write. And then in 3 weeks from now, hopefully it'll last that long, okay? But when it starts to die down, when that initial burst of inspiration starts to peter out, and I'm not sure I could get up this morning, pick up that paper and say, ooh, I said I was able to do it. And I did it. Because I'm capable of doing it. So if I'm capable of doing it, why shouldn't I do it? The Yetzirah tells us in 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, you can't do it. You need to sleep more. Your body's too frail. You need to rest. Otherwise something's going to happen to you. You can't be extra nice. You can't be extra kind. You can't do the extra chesed anymore. You got to save your resources. Save your energy. And then you pull out that paper and say, nope, I don't. Because I did it, and I knew I could do it, and I did it, and I was just fine right after that, and I even felt good about it. And we pull that out, we're going to be able to tap into that energy that we have now, that excitement that we have now, the freshness, the newness. And we'll all be zocha to have an incredible Zman, beating all of our expectations, producing like we've never produced before, and hitting the great heights that we all have the potential to hit. Slacha Rabbah.